Last night I put on my chasuble with the Eucharist on it and it was white. I forgot and had the wrong color on, so today I'm liturgically correct. But I bet nobody noticed, but the Pope would have noticed it, you know. I just wanted to mention, you know, the Church has 13 Eucharistic prayers. Three are children's, and then two are prayers of reconciliation that we normally use in Advent and Christmas more often, Advent and Lent. And then we have the one I'm going to use today is for various needs and occasions, which we can use on Sunday during ordinary time. It talks about Jesus, the bread of life, who journeys with us through the desert and gives us his flesh and blood to eat. It goes very well with the reading, so I invite you to listen to it because each of them is a little different. I like to use all of them so you have a chance to hear the richness of what the Church is offering us in the Roman Missal. But just that's a little FYI. This reading is so startling. One of our parishioners last week sent me a little email attachment of an actor in some living gospel thing reading or proclaiming this to a group of Jews kind of sitting around. Remember, Jesus has fed everybody, and now they're all happy with him, and he's fed them, and he's taught them, and they're just wonderful. And then he comes out with this extraordinary talk in which they start getting angrier and angrier. You know, he starts out with, "I am the bread of life." This is great. You know, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the vine. You're the branches. I'm the gate of the sheepfold. And I'm the bread of life. You eat me, eat my word," you know, spiritual nourishment. So far, so good, huh? And don't we all have to live on that level, that we are two levels? Scripture is always on two levels. Life is on two levels. Many of our people that we live and work with live only superficially, only what they can see and hear. God is not like that. He invites us to go deeper. God is in the details. This is why I like to share with you the details God shares with me. This is how God works. He's trying to get us to go deeper. Look beneath the surface of your life. Everything has meaning. Life is meaning. God knew us before we were born. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to be at the Last Supper. That's what the Mass is all about. That is the center of human history. And at the Mass, we are actually at the Last Supper. It's all one sacrifice. This is not a new sacrifice. It's the same one. Everyone throughout history, at every Mass, has been present at the Last Supper. We're privileged to be partakers of his body and blood and hearing his word. Even if it's a spiritual communion, for some reason you can't receive, we can still receive spiritually through our belief. And it's an exciting moment. So Jesus is speaking on these two levels. On one level, nobody's going to complain about him being the bread of life. His words are life-giving. But Jesus is saying something more, and we go beneath the surface. One thing I have to say is, am I being nourished spiritually or just physically? Jesus points out we are physical beings. We have to eat to live. That from everything from the neck down is basically breathing and digestion, you know. We need this to stay alive. But this body is temporary. What Jesus is offering is eternal. We don't think about eternity because we're living in time. We have real needs. We go out today. It's a beautiful day. We want to have fun. We're planting in the garden, going shopping, and all the things, worrying about work tomorrow or school and coming up in a month. And we have so much on our minds. But eternity seems so far off. Yet we're going to live forever there. And Jesus is feeding us for eternity. We see temporal beings. He sees eternity. It's very interesting. What Jesus is saying is quite scandalous. I mentioned this actor because as I watched this man perform these words, I thought, gosh, this is scandalous. Would I have been able to stand these words? You know, they're saying, "Here, who are you? Who do you think you are? We know your father and mother." Remember a couple weeks ago? You're from Nazareth. You've got an accent. It's as if a man was born in Jervis and says, "I'm the bread that came down from heaven." No, you're not. You went to Sacred Heart School. You see what I'm saying? This is exactly what they're saying. Your father made a table for me. You're a carpenter. I can see by your hands. You work with your hands. You didn't go to rabbi school. And Jesus, you know, and this is, with the Eucharist is the same way. Unbelievers see bread and wine. But it's not. It's Jesus. He's hiding. You see, that's life is hiding. We're learning about life when we come here. God is hiding. He doesn't make it obvious. We have to find him. People that live on the surface miss the whole point of life. It's not about being selfish. It's about giving ourselves away. That's why we have marriage. That's why we have families and we have struggles and trials. He's inviting us into the real deal. I want you to be with me on the cross. That's why he shared this the night before he died. He said, before I die, I want you to have my flesh and my blood. And finally, a light clicks on with these disciples. John is saying to us, I was present maybe 2 years before the Last Supper, and all of us were scandalized by what Jesus said to us, but we didn't leave him. We held on. We knew God knew what he was doing when he called us. Many people left him. Next week we'll hear this. We too, at times, God hands us something that's pretty darn hard for us to swallow. A prayer that wasn't answered the way we wanted. Somebody dies. We have a financial reversal. We're tithing every week and we have a financial reversal. Do we quit tithing and give up on God? Some people do. This is going to happen to us. What do we do? This is the gospel. Jesus gave them something they couldn't digest right away. And then he gets to the Last Supper and he says, this is my body. Now you understand. It's going to look like a matzo, like a Passover bread, but it's me. And in life, you're not going to see me after the except for the resurrection appearances, but I'm going to be with you always. Now you're going to have to find me in the details. That's what life is. It's a voyage of discovery, not to live on the surface. Am I being fed? The thing that I was thinking about, how startling this is, I don't want to talk about this too much, but those Planned Parenthood videos were so gruesome. And but this is kind of like what Jesus is doing. He's stirring the pot a little bit. He's making us think. Each pope, going back as far as I can remember, back to Paul VI with Humanae Vitae, stirred the pot. You know what I'm saying? People still get stirred up with that. And this is the whole point of church teaching. It's meant to make us think, to engage. This current pope is very good at engaging. He stirs the pot a little. That makes people talk and think and gets the whole world talking about church teaching. It's amazing how that works. And Jesus is doing this. How can this man give us his flesh and blood to eat? I noticed the Statesman Journal a couple of days ago had a thing about this whole issue, but it was all one-sided. It was all about how good fetal tissue is and how much benefit we're getting. Not a word about that these are lives that are being expended. And we as Catholics and as Christians know that God loved us before we were born, and every life has meaning, from the people over at the arbor to the people in the hospital just being born, and everybody in between. My life does not have value simply because I'm productive. That's a false thing. I am an eternal being living in a temporal world, and it's extraordinary. And the Lord says, I want to feed you on two levels, physically, with this symbolized by the bread and wine, and spiritually, if you can handle this, I'm coming to you on two levels throughout your life, not just at Mass, but afterward. We're learning about life when we come in here through these wonderful readings. You know, the second reading was extraordinary. All of them really are. I'm going to set a table for you. Come in, you are sinners. Eat my food and drink my wine. This is the Old Testament. I'm going to serve a banquet up for you, and my banquet is the will of God. And, you know, sometimes we like the will of God and sometimes we don't. But Christ is inviting us again into the real deal. When you eat my flesh and drink my blood, it is for eternal life. I'm going to give you also a share in my cross, and that will be your glory. We don't want a cross. We don't want anything to do with the suffering. But the reality is, this is how we prove our love. And I go back to weddings. This is the wedding season. Many get married in August, in June, July, and August, you know. And the vows, when priests are marrying people, they're renewing their own promises to God, which is very similar in an ordination. And all of you have been through marriage. I have to, as many times as I've done this, probably 500 times, I have to think about it, for richer and poorer, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, I will love and honor you all the days of my life. Now notice, we're committing ourselves not just to the good times, but to the tough ones. Not just when I'm rich, when I'm poor. Not just when I'm sick. Well, I'm not a good time Charlie, but I'm going to love you when you're sick. We know this with people that we love. That's our goal, you know. With God, it's the same way. He says, I'm going to let you eat my flesh and drink my blood, but I'm going to share something with you as well. And I want to go through something with you and you with me so we can talk about it forever in heaven. Because I promise you an eternity of incredible happiness, but I want you to go through something on earth. not just to live on the surface, but to see the real life. And this is why we're invited in. Jesus, again, it's extraordinary. He says, I have life within me. I am life. We have borrowed life. We borrow it from our parents. We give it back at death to the earth. But our soul lives on forever. You know, we are not just biological beings. We have something more within us. I wanted to share one little thing about Mass that I find really interesting, and that is the we call it the commingling. The priest puts a little bit of water into the wine. You know, what that means is it began because in the early church, wine was so thick they had to cut it with water, and that was the original meaning, but we've kept it all these centuries because it has come to mean what the priest says privately and what I put in the bulletin for you to keep if you want. By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share our humanity. I am taking in the divinity of Christ, and it's becoming part of my flesh and bone, blood. Can you believe that? Christ humbles himself so we can be raised to divinity, to be like God. I mean, this is an extraordinary thing that we believe. And so just as I pour that little water in there, the water symbolizes humanity. The blood is divinity. I mean, the wine is divinity. And I can't separate those after I put that water in. There's no way to separate it. They become mingled, commingled. In the same way, Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. His divinity commingled with our humanity, humble that it is. It will be there forever. Outside of this universe, if we could see beyond space and time, we will find the Trinity who created everything. He invites us to his table beyond space and time. That's the Eucharist, already looking into eternity, the mystery of life. And in there, in that place, what we find is that Christ is inviting us into this great mystery of his body and blood, to eat his flesh and drink his blood, to be like me, but also to be one with my sacrifice, to be commingled, to be raised to a level of being beyond our comprehension, beyond the natural order of things. Life is not the way it seems. And if there's one thing we learn from coming to Mass and hearing the scriptures is that the Lord does have something in mind for us. He does want us to discover it and figure it out. It is hard sometimes, but here we get clues as to what God is really doing. He hides himself 2,000 years ago, sometimes with very tough teaching. And the Pope does that too. All of them did. And he does that with us in the Eucharist. So we pray that God will open our eyes to see him more clearly. We might eat his flesh and drink his blood in the Word, in the Eucharist, and in life.